Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am here with Terry and Sharon. Hi, Terry and Sharon.
Hello.
Hey, good to meet you. Good to see you.
Hey. Yeah, this is a pastor couple that's been supporting Orphan Relief and Rescue since 2008. You guys have been involved with Orphan Relief and Rescue, which is absolutely amazing. So they have seen a lot over the years. So I was curious, like, how did your relationship even begin with Orphan Relief and Rescue?
Yeah, I had a just quick version. I'd been to a conference up in Chicago, really felt challenged there to get involved in missions and something specifically in Africa. Came home from that and was just looking for an opportunity. Met a person who just happened to be in town here, who was serving on Mercy Ships at the time, and met him. He had a supporter here, and I just told him I want to get connected with some ministries over there. And I have no idea where to even start. And he said, well, come over. I'll introduce you to some different people in different ministries. And so I spent a week there with my oldest son and our student pastor, just meeting all these different ministries and people there, just a bunch of different types. And then Andrew Tyler, who was the country director back then for Liberia, the ship was actually in Liberia, Monrovia at the time. And we stayed on board there. He came through and he said, oh, that's who you need to meet. And so we went around with him to all these little orphanages that ORR was working with at the time. And we didn't really know a whole lot about what was happening in the other countries or anything. We just knew what was happening there and the war and all that stuff that had been going on there. So it's kind of an amazing place to be. And it was like our first time in country. And so it's just a totally different deal for all of us. But coming out of that, we established this relationship. I think we actually met Rebecca at a restaurant like in Texas or something. And Tyler, we were over there for a worship conference or something and had lunch with her and like, okay, we really like these people. So it just kind of started from there and this relationship and learning about what all they were doing. I think you actually were the first one to go there with ORR with Rebecca. And so Sharon went, I think there's another guy from our church who went on that trip. And then ever since then, we've been doing different things, whatever Rebecca just says, hey, we need a team for this. And we just, okay, we'll go do that. And so yeah, that's been going on for a long time now.
Wow. So yeah, because you've brought teams almost every year,
just,
right?
We get knocked out by COVID or something or a hurricane here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Unless it wasn't safe to travel. Right. So I am curious because you've been involved since 2008, like what has it been like for you to see kind of almost the evolution of ORR, like how the Lord has changed it, how it's grown, and what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing because the whole early effort was working on basically a war-torn country and kind of bringing some things up to good places there and all these different homes. So we would go to all these different places, but you didn't really get to know anybody because you were in different places, two or three different places every day. And so it was a lot of cool stuff, but then we just saw it kind of moving out of that as they kind of healed up from the war there and moving into another place in West Africa and some work there going on that was pretty incredible. It's like, so we've seen it more from the focus more over here to the place we started at to a whole new place. But, you know, and then just everything grow with how they're impacting the region that they're in. It's just, it's pretty phenomenal to be a part of that and just to see it go from just one little place to like 5 or 6, 7, 8 different places now. So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Is there anything specific that excites you the most about the growth?
I think the model for how ORR is approaching the problems that they see in some of the poorest areas, the most challenging areas there, some of the villages where they're working at in West Africa, the model they have is a sustainable model. It actually, we see the results on the ground. We see the changed lives. We see spiritual change. We see the actual economic change. We see the whole changes in these villages. It's night and day. And it's kind of amazing because you look at one like where maybe it was started 6 years ago on a trip or even 8 years ago on a trip. And then we see, so that one is fully like it's all Jesus all the time. Pretty amazing. And then you see a brand new village that like just getting to know these people. And you see like, oh, they haven't come anywhere yet, you know, and then kind of the ones that are in between that have started over the years. It's like you can kind of see this development like, oh, okay, they're kind of here. They're like over here, but they're kind of here. And this is like brand new. There's nothing, but there's so much hope because we know what happened here. And so it's pretty cool to kind of see all these different ones. They're all at different stages of their development. I love that. And I love when we bring teams over, you know, Rebecca's so good about that. It's like, yeah, we'll take you to this one because this one you'll see everything. And we'll take you to this one where there's really nothing except a lot of brokenness and a lot of need. And so they can see this contrast and a couple others that are in between. And so I love being able to see all of that when you take a team there and they also see the need and like, okay, this is what needs to be done over here to bring them up to that standard, you know, and see Jesus do that there and puts that in their hearts to come back home and raise money or give money or pray for, or, you know, send more people over or whatever. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's cool that you've seen that multiplication process. And I mean, all the stages, you guys have seen all the stages of it. I'm curious. I know you all have a unique inner healing ministry that you do in the nation and that you've brought to West Africa. So I was curious, could you tell us more about what that is and how that translates?
So I'll be happy to share. So our inner healing ministry is called Beth Shalom, which is a Hebrew word that means nothing missing, nothing broken, the absence of chaos, a place of peace. And so what this is just simply just a way Jesus has given us the tools of the kingdom of heaven, basically. And we do this ministry with all ages, but especially how it translates into where we go in, into West Africa, is that we really help children who have been through trauma. And then, of course, there is so much baggage coming through the family line that we are able to deal with. And then, of course, the torment in their minds comes through many times nightmares and just different lies that they believe. And so the Lord has just really put his breath on this ministry to really bring deeper levels of healing and freedom and setting these kids free from some chains that they inherited that weren't fair and they got put on their lives. And we see the power of Jesus coming in to set the captives free and to comfort, oh my goodness, to comfort their hearts from the traumas that they've literally seen with their eyes. They've witnessed it. And to know that, you know, they don't have to stay there. There is a way through Jesus and his presence that can bring those kids into wholeness and wellness. And we, you know, we see it in their eyes. You know, Rebecca is really big on looking at their eyes. And so, yeah, last year, one of the little fellas, we bring gifts like every other team does. And this little kid would not receive a gift. He was believing a lie. Someone had told him, if you receive a gift, you're going to turn into a witch. And so he was scared. He would not receive a gift. By the end of the week, he did receive some gifts that we had taken. And then this year, he was one of the first kids that came to our van with a bright smile that never left his face. So, you know, you can say all kinds of things, but I just say that is the power of Jesus working inside of his little heart. And so, yeah, we get opportunities to pray with these kids and to hear their stories and apply these healing tools of Jesus's presence into those places of trauma. So it's really, really awesome.
So what does that look like? Like at the safe home, when you have a prayer time with the kids and you're using these tools, is it declaring scripture? Is it praying and hearing their story? And I'm kind of curious because I haven't been able to be witness to it. So what does that look like?
I think it's a combination. So what we've been doing the past 2 years is giving a brief teaching on Jesus cares about your hearts. He cares about your emotions. He cares about your life story. And so what we've been using is a template that we learned from a family counselor here in our area who does this for children. And it pulls the walls down and it allows the spirit to work and move so they can communicate with you. And so what we give them is a white heart. We give them like 6 or 7 different colors and what those colors stand for. And we say, whatever has happened in your life, whatever emotions you're feeling, we want you to color your heart that way. And so when Rebecca sends the kids to us on that last day, they'll bring their heart And whatever color it is, some of the colors are happy. Some of the colors are painful. Some of them are anger. Some of them are darkness. And we can say, tell me about this part in your heart. So it's just a tool of connection, and it opens them up. We can pray. We can bind and block lies. We can break off curses. We can lead them to pray prayers of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big piece of it. So the past 2 years, that's how the Lord has allowed us to use Beth Shalom. And sometimes we'll go into their dorms and bless their beds and anoint their pillows. And there you're speaking out life. You're speaking out blessings. We do a lot with blessings too. And declarations are a part of that.
Yeah. So then how does that translate then when you, because you also do it with the staff, don't you?
Yeah, and those sometimes are a little bit longer, you know, we're specifically meeting with a staff person. Yeah, so we've done like one-on-one sessions where those take, you know, a little bit more time, where we go completely through their story and anything there, any iniquity, trauma, sin, lies, any of the ways the enemies try to come against their hearts and rob them of peace, create chaos in their lives, and then just bring healing in each one of those areas. So we've done that. And then we've done something more where we pray with all of them, you know, and kind of one-on-one, but we're praying blessing over all of them. We did that the last two times we've done that. That's another difference too. The staff gets getting bigger and bigger every time mm-hmm. we go, and more staff every time we go, and they're amazing. But yeah, so in that we're more, we don't have 3 hours or whatever. So in that we're just, hey, tell us like, how do you need to be prayed for? Like what's the biggest concern on your heart right now? And they share that. And it's just kind of praying into that. And sometimes there are Beth Shalom tools that we use as part of that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just more praying for healing or whatever it is, for wisdom from heaven or revelation for what they need or provision from heaven for what they need, and just speaking blessing over them. So it just kind of depends on what that individual staff mm-hmm. member needs, you know, how we do that, how much of the Beth Shalom tools we use for them.
And also we can do Zoom sessions. So I know one of the staff at ORR received a Zoom session, a Beth Shalom
session. That was a full session, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's a full session with a one-on-one trained minister. We have a team that's ordained in this ministry too. Yeah, and so we're able to do on Zoom a whole session with them, which is a couple hours.
And then I know that Rebecca has shared like each time she goes into the country with a team, you know, the Lord gives her a strategy. And I believe that it's been when she's gone with you all before that the Lord really put upon her heart to do like prayer walks over the properties in the villages. Hasn't that been part of with your team too, and blessing the land and declaring it and speaking God's, you know, light and truth? But haven't you also done declarations like in a big group meeting? So what is that?
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. There's two pieces to that. Part of that is the prayer walk piece. And that's just usually us and maybe some of the staff, maybe walking with us and praying over whatever property it is, or you know, whatever RR has there. So, and it's just renouncing anything that property had ever been dedicated to before that was not of God, and just consecrating it and breaking any agreements that have been made over that land and consecrating it to Jesus. And so that this land now belongs to Jesus. And that's usually when we first get there. And then in the time of with the villagers and stuff, it's usually, you know, salvation, sharing our stories and all of that. And then at the end of that, it's leading them and declaring some of those same truths over their lives and breaking any agreements they've made or anything the enemy's tried to do to come against them, actually breaking those things off, identifying those things very specifically, breaking those off, renouncing those curses, and then saying, hey, you know, this is the blessing that Jesus is bringing to you. And they actually declare, you know. And I know one of our favorite ones this year was this particular village. It meant something like the place you go for some kind of plant or something. It was some kind of a plant. I don't know what it was. I asked like several people, like, what did this mean? And they said it meant this. And it's like four different answers. So I don't know. It's something that grows. Okay. And so this is the village where you go to get this whatever thing that grows. That village leader got up and said, we're no longer the village you go for this. Now we're the village you go for Jesus.
Wow.
That was powerful.
Wow.
So, good. You know, wow. And so it's pretty amazing to see. And yeah, so you just see this excitement for Jesus, but you see it in just very practical ways too, just in the joy they have, but also in how they love their children and how they care about one another, and really, you know, just things that aren't, you don't see quite as naturally there in what they were raised in, but you definitely see it now in how they love and how they've had the love of Jesus totally, I mean, a very real, authentic, obvious way, totally restore and change their lives. Yeah. And so, and they pour that out on each other. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. I think, you know, you asked earlier, what have we seen going so many different years? And I would just say, Debbie, that we've seen massive transformation. Mm-hmm. We've literally seen not only the transformation of lives, but we're seeing transformations of that region. Because these villages, it's not just one village anymore. Mm-hmm. It's five or six villages. And it's like, what is happening in those individual villages? I mean, oh my gosh, that's like God is working in that nation, in that country, in that region. And that's where I just have to champion Rebecca so much, because her dream, her heart is so impassioned that people know Jesus, that these kids are rescued, that they are saved, and their little hearts are put back together again. And so what we're seeing in this season, it is defined as miraculous. And really, too, that's the kingdom.
Yeah, I know. That's so amazing. Yeah, I was able to interview our country director with Rebecca. And he was saying, you know, because he prayed for years, you know, for 13 years for this particular region where we work, because it is unique and that this region traffics their children. And there's just this real spiritual bondage over this region. And for 13 years, he prayed and had a heart and wanted, and he's actually blown away that God is answering his prayers so soon. You know, because you guys were witness to that in some of these gatherings where there's hundreds of people. What was that like for you?
I mean, it's interesting. You still see the ones who are trying to curse and do all that stuff, you know, so you see those. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to use bad language. I mean, like spiritual curses.
No, I know.
All that. So you see that. We had one actually standing behind us while we're talking to everybody out there at one of the villages this time. So you definitely gear up for spiritual warfare and all that going over there and have your people praying back here and all of that. Yeah, I think just seeing that happen in the villages, seeing it happen with the children back at the orphanage safe home, seeing transformation happen with even the most powerful people.
Yeah,
that like your chiefs and elders and, mm-hmm. and the structures in those places. And I know Rebecca has connections with some of the, like more of the political side and all that, but just the ones in the villages, it's amazing. It's just, you know, to see their hearts open and where they're even, I know there was one this year where that chief had been just coming to one of the villages down the road, just watching for a couple of years, just watching what all of was going on there. Like, is this real? Is this? And then coming to her, it's like, I want you to come to my village. The first time that's happened. I want you to come to my village. So we did, you know. Yeah, so you see now it's going from just us kind of sharing, hey, here's what could happen here, to where the word is spreading, you know, like, yeah. And they're like, no, we want this. Yeah, absolutely. It's just an incredible, it's mind-blowing to see what God's doing there. Really, yes. I can see your country director felt that way. It's like, yeah, we all felt that way.
Yeah. And one thing too, Debbie, is after these meetings, Rebecca opens up for them to come have prayer, and she'll put us in different groups. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the hunger of these people, and to see these little children come up by themselves, these mamas bringing their babies. I mean, they're hungry for prayer. And so you've got all these people. We stay hours praying for people, and we just know they're encountering Jesus. And that when they go home back to their little house or their little hut, a measure of the light of Christ is going with them. I'll never forget 2009 when I landed into Liberia with Rebecca, and I could just see no electricity. I could see smoke, you know, from the fires. And so fast forward to 2025, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're starting the real fires. You're starting the fire of your love in these villages. And that's pretty mind-blowing. It's hard to wrap your head around.
Are there any specific stories that come to mind of someone in the village, you know, that you were able to pray with, and just that hope, you know, all of a sudden there's freedom or a chain broken, or you, do you have any specific stories that you feel comfortable sharing?
Back in 2016 on that one, we went to one of the places where it worked out well trying to reach some of the women and children, but we didn't know if the men would ever come to anything. And so we just put out there, we're going to just see if the men will come. And we didn't know, had no idea how many would show up or who would show up, you know? And so we just prayed over it and went, and we had about 60 show up, including the chief. And at the end, I just, you know, you have to present the gospel with the understanding they don't know anything about the Bible or anything about Jesus or anything else. So you have to kind of start from there. And but presented the gospel, and the chief, who was sitting right on the front row, he raised his hand to receive Christ, and others. We had 12 out of the 60 plus who were there who received Christ that day. And now that place is actually has like it's my favorite one to go to. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, talk about a transformation. But and then so when we were back last year, I had my picture made with him back in 2016. So it's good every time I go back. Actually, this trip we didn't get to go to that particular village, but it's always good to go back and I get always get my picture made with him again. And it's just you see this total transformation in this place. I mean, there was nothing there and no Jesus there, no nothing. I mean, some of the women and some of the kids were coming along. But the men were like, whatever, go do your thing, ladies. But now it's like they're all in. Yeah, it's phenomenal. So, yeah, that was a transformation where God was doing some things with the women and the kids. But when he got a hold of that chief's heart, everything changed for that whole village. Powerful to see. You know, so now that's been, 8-9 years and kind of watching that journey. And, yeah, pretty phenomenal.
Those people. I saw a video, I think it's one of the newer villages, where there was something, you know, like an invitation for Jesus to be there. And I just saw those men up front, just their entire body declaring and inviting and just really being the leaders within their village. It was amazing to see. Yeah, because it's very different from 9 years ago.
We couldn't tell what, of course, we don't understand the language. And so, you know, we couldn't, I think he's excited about what we're talking about, but we couldn't exactly tell. And so finally, one of the interpreters, I'm like, is he like with us or is this about to go bad? Like, no, he is so excited. He can't hardly stay inside his body. He couldn't hold it. He was so excited. So like, okay, good, good. That's a good sign. So
anyway. Yeah, I saw him at the corner of my eye too. And I was like, oh Lord, I hope he's saying these words to you. I hope it's not the other things.
Yeah, we couldn't tell because he wasn't really talking at the same time they were. He was kind of over and above them and not necessarily what they were saying. It was like, what is he doing? And so anyway, like, oh. So anyway, it turned out to be amazing. So yeah.
His own little extemporaneous worship. Yeah.
All good, thank goodness.
I love it. So after traveling to West Africa for so many years, what have you learned that you really incorporate into your ministry back home?
Yeah, I think, like one of our prayer, we have prayer focuses every year this time of year, because we start our ministry year on September the 1st every year. So we always have these prayer focuses. And one of those this year is that we'll be a house of miracles. And some of the faith behind that comes from what we've seen in West Africa. I mean, we've seen absolute miracles. We had the feeding miracle last year. We had food for 100, 150 people and ended up feeding 750 with leftovers. And like something you see in the Bible, we had a girl at the orphanage safe home who was run over out on the highway. And we had, that was a medical mission. So we had ER doctors, ER nurses. We had a life flight nurse on that trip from our church. And they all said, she's not going to make it. And just, she's back that evening. Like what? And it was just all the kids in orphanage safe home were praying out loud and at the same time for an hour and 15 minutes for that girl, the whole time she was gone. And they bring her back and she was fine. She's still there today. And many others, but we've just seen actual, you know, real miracles. And so to come back and say, you know, it hasn't just been pastor coming back and saying that, or Pastor Sharon coming back and saying that, you know, people in our church family come back like, I saw this happen and I was the nurse who was there that he's talking about. Or, you know, we found this child is laying in the dirt in one of the villages that a village had abandoned and had a hurt leg. And we asked, like, what's up with this kid? And they said, take him. We don't care. And of course, Rebecca's like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go do this the legal way, the right way. And she did. And then the country director, sometimes you have kids who have needs like that, need surgery and stuff like that. He'll take them in and kind of like a, almost like foster care, adoption type thing. And that kid now is amazing. Has the same thing, big smile, and just like that kid's life was literally saved there. Yeah. So when you come home and tell those stories and you connect that back to, that's what God wants to do in you. You know, it's the restoration, the freedom, the healing, the life, the joy of life, you know, because everybody's facing things. The problems our people face aren't the same, obviously, but they're real. The pain of betrayal, the pain of addiction, the pain of so many challenging things that our people that we serve all the time, you know, and do ministry with all the time is very real. And it gives them hope and it opens up their hearts to what could God do in me. And a lot of those same people end up going later, you know, on some of these trips. So we never have trouble. I always think, like, nobody's going to pay money to go on this thing. Like, you know, I always have this in the back of my mind, like, goodness, is anybody really going to go this year? It's a lot cheaper to go on. We have some other missions experiences that are like a third of the price, you know, and every time it fills up, like, you know, say, okay, we have a limit of this. I always have to say, Rebecca, like, what's the most I can bring? Like, you can bring this many this year. You can bring this many this year. Like, okay. And so anyway, yeah, it's phenomenal. So it does translate into really impacting them. Mm-hmm. But I would say the miracles and just the work Jesus does in the lives of people, the transformative work that you can actually see, I think gives everyone hope. And maybe it's just this hope for their son or daughter that they're praying for, you know, but it gives them hope that God does miracles. He still changes lives, and he can do that here. And of course, we get to see that right here also, you know.
Yeah. So. And we're very intentional. Our children's ministry, they support like maybe 12 kids over there. So we're keeping them connected early in their life to be mission focused, to be world changers for Jesus. And so I love that connection, because that's laying a foundation in their lives. And of course, we always invite our whole church into the Christmas time, you know, the bundles. And so, yeah, we want it to be our culture. And so ORR is woven in the tapestry of our lives personally, but into the lives of our church. And, you know, it's partnership. And so back in 2008, it was God's design that Terry got to cross paths with Andrew in that moment. And then I got to go to Liberia the next year, and then God's plan has unfolded. So we're just so honored. We are so honored that we can just play a small part, you know, in this kingdom story that God is writing. So beautiful.
That first encounter on the ship, it wasn't by accident in God's economy at all, but the guy who I was over there with, who invited me over, never thought to introduce me to any of those people, even though Andrew's mom and dad is who actually checked us into the boat and gave us our name tags. They gave us our stuff to stay on the boat. We just happened to be there coming down the hall, and he crossed the hall to go see his mom and dad. He wasn't staying on the ship. And he goes, oh, that's who you need to see. That's who you need. And like, I don't know why I didn't think of this. It was my last day there. And so we ended up spending that whole day with him. But yeah, God knew exactly what he was doing.
Wow, I love it. I love hearing just how God, you know, works his beautiful tapestry. I love hearing how he inspires your ministry. I love hearing how the Bible really, truly does come to life. You know, when you travel over to West Africa, like, you really feel like you are walking with Jesus. And it's really amazing to see.
We have Rebecca come every the second Sunday of December. She comes over and she's always teaches that morning, and it's never just an update. She does give a little bit of an update of what's going on, but she also teaches something, you know, from Inspired to Action, one of her stories of this is what God wants to do in you. So she's really good at taking it from here's what's happening over there, but here's what God wants to do in you. Here's what God wants to do in your story today. And she's very good at making that where our people can grab onto that. Like, yes, that's what he's trying to do in my life right now. She is incredibly gifted at that. And so I love that that's her approach, because sometimes you have someone in one of our Make a Difference partners or ministry partners like that, and they just kind of want to give you the update and like, hey, send us money and leave, you know, kind of thing. She never does that at all. She's very much like, you can tell she has a passion for our people to grow in their journey. And then we always have our staff Christmas party that night, and she's always at our staff Christmas party. So she's like family. So she's like part of the staff. Yeah, so all that just to say, it really is fully integrated into who we are as a church family. It's a big part of our identity as a church here.
We always usually end our podcast with kind of a word of encouragement for any of our listeners. So I'm wondering, what would you say if there's someone out there listening, you know, here who's maybe not able to travel to West Africa, but what would be your word of encouragement for them today, whether it be a pastor or a layperson in the church? What would you say to them after having traveled with it or Friendly for Rescue?
Yeah, I would say two things. I'm not sure what Sharon said, but I'd say two things. One is the spiritual warfare is very real. So pray for the in-country team that's there. Pray for Rebecca and you guys as you lead here stateside, and as you go over, especially make sure you're covering them. And every single person can go before the Lord. We all have that authority in Christ to come before and to intercede and to come together and stand in the gap. So definitely do that. The other thing is just we give a lot as a church family to ORR and to the ministries there. And I can stand up in front of our people and say, hey, this is I mean, every bit of this goes to make a difference. This actually changes the lives of these villagers and these kids in the safe home. And when you invest here, it's an eternal investment that makes a great difference. So if you have resources, even if it's just a little here and there, you know, we personally send in just a little, and our church sends in a lot more. Whatever you can give, you know, just do that, and just know that it absolutely makes a tremendous difference. And we've seen it. It absolutely makes a tremendous difference on the ground.
Yeah. So Debbie, what I would say is read Rebecca's books and allow your heart to be stirred and moved. And out of that, listen for an invitation that the Holy Spirit may give you, and be a voice with action. You know, that's one of the phrases for ORR. And so use your voice in prayer, but also use your voice. Yeah, maybe the Lord is going to call you to support one of the children, because there's so many more kids that are coming to the Saturday, the community meetings, right? So consider, be curious, and ask the question, Lord, what can I do to be a difference maker and to be a world changer? Because we're all called to be world changers. We just have to find our lane. And the Lord has a lane for each of us. And one is not better than the other. I mean, those of us who go over there is not any more powerful than someone who would choose to pray or send money or partnership in that way. Mm-hmm. But it takes all of us, I think, doing our part. And oh my goodness, we will see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. And so I would just encourage each person to come on, take a step, get on Amazon right now, buy the book, buy her books, and just listen to the Holy Spirit talk to your heart and be curious and ask the next question, Lord, what can I do?
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, I'll make sure I put a link in the show notes to, if you want to go to Amazon and get the book. If you want to partner with Orphan Relief and Rescue, you can visit orphanreliefandrescue.org. Or if you email info@orphanreliefandrescue.org, I can also provide for you the audiobook too. So thank you so much, Terry and Sharon, for partnering, for praying, for interceding, for just allowing the Lord to use you just to make that gorgeous tapestry. And it really is all for His glory, and it's an honor, and it just gives me personally a picture of heaven. Like, I'm so excited. You know, we live this side of heaven, but on the next side, you know, to see just how we've all been connected, it absolutely blows my mind. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.